Small caps almost shaken off the pandemic funk and risen to record highs this year. It looks like they have several ingredients in their favor, cheap in an expensive market, and might just avoid several of the potential pitfalls facing large caps in 2022. Anthony Clark of Small Talk Daily joins us on the line now for more on the performance we've seen on the small cap arena. Thank you so much for your time, Anthony. Now, the small cap sector has rallied about 44% in the last 12 months. Characterize this year so far for me for the sector.
Well, it's been, as you say, a fantastic year for the small to mid-cap sector. Just as a comparative, the Aussie market, or the All Share, is up about 16%. The mid-cap market up about 21%, and the small-cap market, as of today, up just under 44%. So there's been clear outperformance from the small-cap space, where the undervaluation of the sector during the COVID sell-off of last year really saw valuations hit to an extremely low level. I've been covering this market now for the best part of 30 years, and it's probably one of the cheapest metrics that I saw sort of March, April, May last year. We've seen a significant rebound, but there's still significant value left in the sector, given the number of delistings, potential buyouts, and undervalued situations I see on a daily basis.
Yes, Anthony, I mean, you say that there's great value in there. You look at, you know, this performance of the sector and also just consider that small caps tend to outperform the larger companies. But historically, they haven't really gotten much attention from investors. I mean, what's been responsible for this lack of interest?
Yeah, I think in the last 20 years, there's been a fundamental shift in the investment landscape domestically. You know, as the economy has sort of suffered, and the RAND has weakened materially, there's been a significant shift in fund managers' emphasis away from the small to mid-cap universe, which is the domestic universe of stock coverage, towards more RAND-focused offshore entities. And as such, as the market has got smaller and there's been a significant amount of delistings, and more importantly, hardly any new listings of small to mid-cap companies, the sector has become a bit of a backwater. And we've seen, you know, the number of listings, for example, in 1994 were over 800. As of today, we're at about 330, showing you that there's been a gradual erosion in the underlying coverage and listings in the small to mid-cap universe. And because of that, many fund managers simply cannot buy sufficient amounts of liquidity to justify their funds. In many cases, they'd have to buy the entire company just to get an insignificant weighting in a large industrial fund. And as such, the private client market and the boutiques and the hedge funds have taken the space that was traditionally dominated by the large cap fund managers in this country.
Anthony, I actually read an article of yours on Business Live today on how to dig for buried treasure, and you mentioned small cap Bola McCalf, a plastics and packaging company, really coming out with interesting numbers from there, with the company delivering strong operational performance, yet it's still undervalued with a P of under three. Walk me through some of your three top picks in the sector that you think are undervalued that investors should be looking out for.
Your sister publication, the Financial Mail, I wrote an article this week on the six stocks that I think in 2022 could easily attract the attention of either a buyout or some form of private equity equity interest. And one of those stocks, as you correctly mentioned, was Bola Metcalf. It's a Cape Town-based, family-owned packaging company, 50 years track record, sits on a substantial pool of assets, not just cash, but owned property, and still makes 100 million rand a year in its core operating plastics business. So if you strip out the cash and the owned property, you're basically buying the business on a PE of 3, which I think is an extremely low sort of level. Another one of my top picks for the year was Muftec, the computer company, which basically, again, has a significant discount to net asset value, has seen significant growth in the underlying demand for its products during COVID and the work-from-home scenario, has been buying back shares, and quite frankly, is in a PE of, again, of 3 times. So these are just two examples of small caps, which have amazing prospects, family-owned, family-run, generate significant amounts of cash and profits, but are just ignored by the wider market.
Anthony, let's take a look at some of the results that came out today in that small cap sector. We had Carp Agri that tripled the total dividend for the year, saying that their retail trade has returned to pre-COVID levels. Of course, the CEO warning of some concerning trends in the agri sector, like rising input costs. Were those results what you had hoped for? Were there any surprises there for you?
Not really. I cover the agricultural sector extremely closely. I'm probably the only analyst that does. And I had a forecast number for Clark Agri between 470 and 480, and they came in at around 478. As you correctly said, the dividend for the year was increased very sharply by over 200%. Now, the agricultural sector in this country for the last 2 years, post the major drought we had in the country 4 years ago, has been on a significant rebound. And basically, the results we saw today from Clark Agri are a testament to the fact that the segment is recovering extremely strongly. You know, with an export market booming due to fruit, as an example, which is predominantly the area that, that Clark Agri plays in alongside wheat, it's had a much better results proposition than many others in the segment, purely because of the area of agriculture that it focuses in, which is basically the Western Cape, the Northern Cape, and the Eastern Cape regarding fruit. So I think the results were exactly not in line with my expectations, and the share price on a 12-month basis has actually doubled.
Yeah, and another company, Invicta, also coming out with results, really writing a recovery story with its strategy of selling off assets and reducing debt, paying off. You know, in a JSE webinar actually that you were in last month, you called it the turnaround of the company your wildest lottery dream. Are you still carrying on with that sentiment?
The answer is yes. You could have bought Invicta at the height of the COVID sell-off in 2020 at under 4 rand a share. As I look at my screen right now, we're trading at about 28 rand, and it's off its high of 32. You know, that may sound like a fantastic run from 4 rand, but let's not forget, it was only a few years ago that Invicta was trading at 120 rand, showing you the depth of despair that the company went through with the weak economy and some problems it had internally. But Stephen Joffe came in as the new CEO 2 years ago. He sold off some key divisions, cleaned up the balance sheet, repaid all the debt, sorted out the SARS tax issue, and here we are, a company which is now generating good cash flow and has returned to positive sets of earnings. And I expect a little bit more from this company going forward. The acquisition latterly of Dotcom, which is involved in fiber technology and IT solutions, will bring a significant new revenue stream and profit silo to the company. And I think Invicta, as I call it, is reinventing itself from an old company that sold widgets and nuts and bolts to something a little bit more relevant in 2021. And it's certainly one at 28 rand that I would keep an eye on. I think there's much more to go regarding earnings recovery and earnings momentum.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time. That was Small Talk Daily's Anthony Clark, just walking us through the rally that we have seen in the small caps sector.